Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Welcome everyone. That was, of course, Ben Stur's group, Parasonic. And welcome to When Pigs Fly. This is Andrew Fetter, and thank you for BBS Radio. Once again, Ben Stur, the filmmaker of Chromatica, Esoteric Agenda, and of course, Ungripped. By the way, you should Google those. That was his group called Parasonic. And he will be playing in, for those out in the Los Angeles area, at the Viper Room on July 23rd. I will be there on that one for sure. And August 2nd at LA's Whiskey A Go-Go. So do try to hit one of those two shows. I believe he might be playing some more with his group. That is great music they have going on. And, of course, if you look on there, on next week, I am very honored and feel blessed to have him once again on my show. Of course, that's on July 26th. So, circle the calendar. This is great, great. Going to be an amazing show with him. Again, do check him out. And recap, this is part two from last week, right? You know, since I last time just spoke about regarding, is our world circular or is it round? You know, we tend to make things to a square, don't we? I mean, look at it. We often believe what we see, hear, can touch, right? We often live by assumption of our universe being somehow, in some way, some shape, finite, like a square, with its limitations, with its finite capacities, like a square. Then we choose our even our spiritual beliefs to be, again, finite, like a square, even to the point of creating a finite god or a finite gods or sons of gods, thus another square. Somehow, we even limit ourselves within a square. We limit our universe within the illusion of a square, a finite in all belief systems. Well, and the fact is, the reality is, in every aspect of the universe, it's actually the opposite. It is infinite, a circle. So the question is, why? Why is it this? We often consistently do this. Why do we assume this is our world a circle or square? Why do we consistently assume our souls are square and limited when they are not? We often look upon ourselves through our world around us in the most limiting ways and rigidity of a square. I mean, think of it in a spiritual context. We've made gods to be separate from us, creating an illusion of a finite even within our own spiritual beings. We've often even created images of God to have some kind of personas or personalities, again, reflecting our limitations, creating a square, the non-reality. We created even families like father and son within our spiritual realms. Maybe Zeus and they have a family, or Jesus and father and son, or Krishna and, you know, and we can go on and on. And even the great Egyptians and I can go on and on of how much in the Hindus, we often create these personifications of gods, of families and fathers and mothers and sisters and families. Again, a limited box, not the reality. We've even made planets to be like sort of like gods and have some sort of power. You know, there's Uranus and there's Mars and, you know, they have some deemed thing there. Only them. We've limited our things, but from what? From what we see, what we assume that is there with our own limited perspectives because of our limited visions, but the limitations is not the reality. We've even created ourselves even to the spiritual context or even beyond that in the philosophical understandings. We've created ourselves to be separate from each other, as well as, of course, from the universe and Earth and all its inhabitants. You know, we look at ourselves when we're going, oh, there's the world, there's you, there's me. We've even separated ourselves in classes, right? I mean, black, white, green, yellow, what religion you are, what nationality you are, what ethnicity you are. We've divided or separated us from the animal kingdom. We separate us from all our inhabitants. We separate ourselves from Earth. We separate ourselves from the universe. But the reality is, what is our bodies? Well, first of all, we're basically air by definition. Within the atom, we're 99.9% air, or space rather. More correct, sorry. But even so, what happens to our bodies when it goes into the ground? It becomes part of the soil, part of Earth. How much we relate, we have to eat from what grows within the planets, the water, the air that we breathe. See, there is no real separation. We assume there's separation. We even create philosophies and cycles of limitations. Even with we create this bullshit about how our global warming is in a limited form, like there's actually like a little blanket called carbon, when we know in real reality that there is called layering effects of energy in a broad sense, changing patterns that change within our Earth. But of course, we limit ourselves with even these ideas. We limit them toward the expense of putting politics, creating our own walls. We've created the separation, illusion of even duality within our daily lives. I mean, look at it. Everything is cause and effect. We've created a yin and yang. It's cause this, cause them. Not seeing for the reality what they are. We've created our own dualities and our own separations. And these are the squares. These are the limiting walls. These are our enslavements to our limitations. We've created the finite way of seeing things and understanding things, yet it is obvious that our universe is infinite. We even finite our experiences to a cause and effect, separating the two, not interlinking them. Think about your cause and effect of your situations. If you do this, it will cause that. And if you do that, it will cause this. Or if they do this, it will cause that. But there's a cycle that rotates. We've even separated within our theologies of causing karma and karma. That in itself is sort of a duality, isn't it? A limited aspect, right? I will explain to you why and what is. We constantly separate our things and our experiences. We've even created in the terms of the cause and effect of us versus them themes to the point in how absurd it is. Even the recent events right now between the Zimmerman and Martin case, people are seeing things black and white all of a sudden. How ridiculous. How absurd. People, we've still returned to the same limiting forms of skin color, ethnicity, sexuality, sexual orientation, nationality, or even spiritual beliefs in a limited form of separation. Again, a square, not reality. No, not reality. I mean, think about it. Here's a reality check. Think about what the universe does when, let's say, remember Sandy hit that big hurricane hit into New York and the Jersey area? Do you think that the universe goes, wait a second, oh, well, there's some white folk over there and some black folk over there and some Asians over there and gays and straights? And no, doesn't matter. Boom, they're all wiped out, right? All affected, right? Then it's forced to everybody to work together. Why do you think our universe consistently, we always have these travesties or calamities? Think about why. It's to teach us how we're all the same, how we have to get along together. It forces us to go to reality. It forces us to realize there is no color or pigmentation that separates us. That's, you know, our vision. We see each other, but that's not real reality. That's a limited form of what we see about each other. Very limited form. Are you just your skin? Are you just your blood? Are you just your bones? Are you just your eye color, your hair? Even beyond that, your own personalities, those are limited. That's the square part. But we tend to focus upon that to make it, creating that to be the absolute reality when it is obviously not. We keep on looking at the world and each other like some kind of square. Well, do you know, you ever saw a square with a circle in it? What's that thing called on a boat? I'm not. We keep on applying approaches to our everyday lives like a limited square. We've even created and made up values of things, creating another square, a limited and a finite belief. I mean, look at our sciences. Our own sciences and their approach have become limited by what? You will hear physicists talk about, by observation. We produce an experiment and they observe with their eyes. They observe the results. They utilize tools, but the tools themselves they know are limited. This even physics have recognized the limitation of our sciences. This is why they put approximate creating possibilities. This is what quantum is. That's heading more to the reality of things because it's looking at things not absolute, but a possibility. Because again, we believe that what we see and is a reality, but the fact is, the answer is we do not. We observe and assume the reality. So again, why? Why do we have these limited forms? Why have we created these squares in our theocracies, our sciences, our belief system? We have theocracies with limitations. Don't do this. Don't do that. Square. We limit ourselves even like God-like. God is limited and God is a square. But in fact, is God limited? So why do we limit it? Why do we make up God into these limited squares? Why? We've even created religious beliefs and spiritual beliefs that are simply limited in their own definitions. Because we tried to define them with limited capacities in what we say with words and what we see, hear, and feel. These, in fact, are still limited. We go from limitation to infinite, which doesn't work. This is our illusion. But the question is, why do we? Why do we make a father or son or personifications of God? Like it's you got some feelings toward you. Like God has to feel something in you. God is going to punish you. God is somebody you have to fear. Why is God limited to the point that it's always my God is the right God and your God is the wrong God? Why? Why do we keep on pretending there's a limit place called hell or heaven? Why do we make these little areas, these little stage places, we assume in limited forms that somehow our soul rise there? Why do we even limit our soul? Why do we limit the realities when they're not? Our soul is not limited. Why do we keep on making these assumed limitations when in fact the universe, we, everything, is infinite? Why do we keep on pretending? Why do we keep making these limited squares of our sciences and then are shocked when we're force-fed that we are, again, never have been a square, nor is our environment or us being a square limited? Why? Why do we keep on going back to that? Why do we assume consistently that we're going back to these limited forms? Why? So I ask you why you all follow in the belief that you are limited. Why do you follow and believe that our universe is limited? Why do you feel that you assume that your soul is limited? That is, God is limited. The world is limited. And the universe is limited. Why are you simply living with limitations? Why? Why do you follow paths with your own psychological sciences with limitations? Why do psychologists limit you and your soul into a square with labels when they don't have a clue to the realities of what you are? Think about what psychologists and psychiatrists do. with their constant, including medicine, they label your personifications, your so-called abnormalities, with labels to sort of like stamp it. But they have no clue. How much do they really know about your soul and what your mind is? And what cause of it is? See, psychologists still use the duality of cause and effect, which is what limited. They base it upon observation, which is limited. Is your soul in a box? Is your soul within just your brain? Is your mind just in your brain? It just now acknowledged we have an auric field. Ooh, wow. But that in itself is still limited, right? Think about the why they do this. Why we've done this to ourselves. Why? Look at what happens. What we give patients. Patients are given pills. Basically giving them some kind of chemicals. You know, you're depressed. You have anxiety. Here's a pill. You're bipolar. Here's a pill. We look at medicine to fix our body like it's a car part. In fact, medicine acts in an illusion of limitation of a square. Yet, here's the irony. They will diagnose you, your illness, with a CAT scan or MRI or X-ray, utilizing the approach of energy, waves, a circle of understanding being the reality. Yeah, we are, within our universe, unlimited energy, aren't we? Yet, how do they try to fix you? They don't fix you in the correct way toward looking at you as an energetic plasm to fix what's up wrong. They fix you in a limited capacity like you're a car part. Replace it or throw some meds in there. Now, some people will say, well, is it politically because of economics to make money, but our own economics are our perceived limitations. Think about it. I only have so much money to live, to feed, to buy. We've created our own walls. We've created ourselves within our own boxes, within our own societies. Look at how we live. We live in our little box, then go from one to another box. Drive in a little box on box on the wheels. Then we talk to other people in their box. And then we're given information out of a box. Get it? We've actually created our own limitations. But are they real? Is that reality in the universal aspect? No. Because they're limited. We play this game and make believe that they are real. Dream within a dream, as they say. We are. We've created a dream within a dream. We have been limiting ourselves to our energy sources, even to when, in fact, we have an abundance of free abundance of energy all about us. Yeah. Fact, right? Why don't we have free energy right now? It's freely out there. We've had that understanding since Tesla back in the 1800s. How come we're not utilizing economics, political economics, as they would say? Probably. But if that was the case, why don't we keep on pushing for it? Why aren't people pushing for it? Because they feel they're limited, they can't do. If we do, what'll happen? People have their own selfish reasons, creating more limitations. Again, they are part of us versus them. Our own economics, like I said, is our reaction to ourselves. The people that we have in our, that rule us, that lead us, that are in our political power and economic leaders and economic powers, they are of us, not separate of us. The us versus them is part of the square mentality. When you see that they are us and we are them, then you're looking at things in the reality of what it is. Again, science, back to science, science isn't isn't limiting science. Real science isn't limiting science. Our own perspectives, limiting ourselves, limits them. And when in reality, the universe is unlimited, infinite, and not a square. Again, real science isn't limiting science. Real science comes with understanding that our perspectives and our views are limiting ourselves. But in fact, the universe is unlimited. That's the reality. That's the acknowledgement. So in fact, is our world square? No. Is the universe square limited? No. Is it finite? No. Is space square? No. So why do we live as if it is? Why do we make our squares? Why do we limit ourselves when we aren't? We assume by our eyes and ears and our touch, all things are limited, like the rigidity of a square. We assume our perspectives is truth, because that's what we've been told and we're assumed. We live that we are somehow squares, and somehow the universe must be a square and limited. But in reality, they aren't. We've created, again, as I say, religions and scriptures that are simply limited in all its forms. But are they? Is it reality? I ask you, look how we view one another. Like one square to another. We've even assumed the us versus them mentality of the square. Like I've said, we've in fact, with our own selves, we forget how divinely connected we all are, like a circle, unlimited in divine connection. We act like we're separate from Earth, like a square, but in fact, we've limited ourselves in our own viewpoints with our own universe and with Earth. But in fact, we're infinitely connected to Earth, infinitely connected to all things. We've created ourselves as the yin-yang themes of duality, of limitations, of the good versus bad, black versus white, white versus dark versus light, light versus dark. Why is all this? Why is it my perspective a square? Why is this, my square right more than right than your square? Why do we put these squares in front of our eyes and assume them to be the absolutes and the truths? Why do we have gone this path? Why haven't we just become the circle into the reality of the universe? Why has it become our perspectives versus the truths? Why has it become the limitation to get to the reality of the infinite? Perhaps a better question, why did humanity and the human soul enter this experience? Why did we do this? To be in one simple thing, to feeling assume the perspective of limitation, being a limited square. Why? Well, the best thing I heard a while back, I think Bashar put it in one perspective. Think of a divine kind of way of path that we've gone. You know, here's some reality and some truths. But this just might be just my square too, right? Think of it as perhaps we have chosen these lives from lifetime to lifetime on this plane, on this planet called Earth, to do an amazing thing. We've gone from going from experiencing limitations with our limited belief systems and living and assuming that we and our universe are limited, that our world is square, our being is square, and we've been assuming for thousands of years, limiting ourselves to squares, and our belief system limiting to more squares, teaching our kids that we are just squares and our world is square, toward the reality, going the opposite end, to the reality of a circle.
unlimitations to the infinite. So think about that. Think about, let's say there's extraterrestrials all around us. And you know what they're thinking? People go, why aren't they helping us? What is makes us, why don't they be better than them? Or why are they better than us? Perhaps it's the other way around. Perhaps we're doing the most amazing thing in humanity at all. Perhaps we are in our own bodies going through thousands of years of cycles of karmic experiences to go from a very limited way or assumption of limitations to go toward the infinite. Think about that. Why is it? You know, we're right now in the time of what some people call Mercury retrograde, right? And people have probably heard about, oh my God, it's Mercury retrograde. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my God. They get that fear thing, right? Fear, by the way, is an illusion. An illusion. It's as hollow as fears. It's like they say in Tao Te Ching. But we have, in our own capacities, created situations to develop ourselves. So let's say, look at Mercury retrograde. I mean, my late teacher once explained what Mercury retrograde is. And I'm not going to get in the point of, because you probably heard on my past shows with Carrie Pezza, an esteemed astrologer, and she explains the astrological viewing of how that works, the concept. So I'm going to explain it to you in a spiritual, more philosophical context. People say that Mercury retrograde affects, you know, communications, things breaking down, cars, mechanics, and all that stuff, etc., right? Even relations might come and go, from the past, come in. but I remember my late teacher, Janice Sinclair, used to say that think of Mercury retrograde as like you're working on weights and you're pressing weights, you're pushing those weights, and your spirit is growing, right? Now, how would you make yourself stronger if you're working on weights? You would add more weight, right, to build your muscle in your arm and your legs, however you're working on your weights, right? So think of Mercury retrograde as sort of the same thing. It has, in a spiritual context, it's like your spiritual weights put on there, creating limitation, to force you to focus. What do you think about that? And also challenges you in your own belief system. So you have to focus more. Things break down. What's your reaction? You get all this up, go, Riley. When you meet somebody from the past, or a new experience that you had comes back again, what's your reaction? Think of that. Think of how that persona that I just said, the limitation form, and how that relates to everything from all humanity where we are. Think of where humanity was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Think about how we look at things. Think about before Einstein, how we looked at space and time. Before Einstein, we didn't realize that time and space were one and the same. Before Einstein, we didn't realize the power held within nuclear capacity. Now, we did know certain things. We utilized electricity. We knew something was out there. We grabbed electricity out of the sky. We didn't see it, but we knew it was there. We sought out reactions. And we began to create ourselves unlimited way. I mean, think about it. This is not just recent. We've been going through this process in our own theologies. But we keep on forgetting these. We're constantly giving hints. We're constantly giving hints all along our humanity
in some form or another. We're given hints from beings, some well-known, some not so well-known. I mean, we're shown things from people from within, let's say, the Bible itself. There actually is not really talking about showing how the universe is beyond what we see. Yeah, in our own Bible. I'm talking about going to the original Bible. I'm not talking about the New Testament. I'm talking about going to the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking about what they are saying. And then if you even go to the New Testament of Jesus and them, people too caught up in the Father, Son, and God. But even he died, and what did he say? Oh, Lord God, why hath you forsaken me? Why? Because he was showing he was just a person. He didn't want you to get caught up in him being a God. He was far from that. He was trying to show how we within ourselves are connected. How within ourselves is divineness. He was going toward an infinite way of looking at ourselves. That's the truth. And that's what's been lost. And if you go to Sufi Islam, the true nature of Islam, or the true nature of what within Judaism, or you go through all those things, from Rumi to the Ari, they're talking the same. If you go to the Native American spirituality, go to the core of it, you understand it's the same. Taoism, the same. All the Buddha, he may say some certain things, but he was really pointing to giving you an aspect. What is compassion? What is being, I need to be compassion? What is compassion toward the animal? It's not that everybody has a view. You can eat the animal or not eat, whether you're vegan or not. It's still just a view. It's the understanding that reality, we are all connected. It's getting to change your perception to the reality. It's going from the limitation to move forward. That is the greatest thing about us. Moving from a rigid and limited form. We've been enslaving ourselves and making ourselves free. And enslaving ourselves and free. I did a show a long, long time ago, and I do it like sometimes every now and then during Passover. But if you read the Seder for Passover and what the Israelites went through, that's that whole story. How we become slaved and then free and then enslave ourselves. We become free and then enslaves ourselves to limiting ourselves to what we assume. And then we have to break away that slavery again. And each time what happens, we grow and we change. We be emerging and expanding and becoming more connected universally. This is what's happening around the world. Do you think it's by chance that the earth is changing for what it is? Is this by chance? No, nothing's by chance. Everything is moving on its proper course. Yes, we're a circle. And there is no yin and yang. The yin and yang, you ever seen the circle? The yin and yang is cut like into a circle. Why? It's not separate. People don't get it. It's not duality that there's yin and yang, a cause and reaction. No, it's a circle. Because they're intertwined to each other. We are like so merging together right now. We've even looked at our sciences. We're finally merging our sciences to our true nature. Look how far we've come, and we're heading that direction. That is the magical point of humanity. That is what is being washed upon us. That is the greatest thing. We are heading from the square of our alter ego to the circle of our true nature in an infinite divine manner. Yes, we're being pulled back and forth. We have still this crap about the Martin and the Zimmerman mentality of black versus white and white versus black bullshit. We're still going through in the Middle East where it's Islam versus non-Islam. We're still going through that man versus woman. We're still going through that because every time we move forward, something's trying to pull us back into that rigid form. And yet we try to break away from that again. And there's a balance going from one way to another. Look at our sciences. Again, we're merging toward that same thing. It is amazing how, even right now, physicists, modern physicists, have been moving
converging into shamanic understandings. Why? Do you think this is just coincidence? How they finding Kabbalism and Taoism and all the Native American understandings, how they're converging into that area. How they're understanding the numbers, how there's vibrations and frequencies that are going all about us, that there's a pattern going on. Do you think this is just coincidence? No, we're coming too closer. We're seeing things in an infinite way. Yes, we will have free energy. Look at right now what's going on with cold fusion. Everybody thought, oh, we can never have cold fusion. We thought outside the box. What is thought when we see, say, let's think outside the box? Because we always live in a box. Think outside the box and you'll see what's going on. I have clients who constantly, what I do, and anybody does readings where they're supposed to, they take the person outside the fishbowl. When somebody does a consultation, if they do it correctly in helping somebody, whatever you are, even as a friend, you take them out to get a point of view outside so they can see what's outside and so they can reevaluate where they are in their lives. Why? You're taking them out of the square, their little square. The look of great is in humanity. We are moving from the mentality of the illusion of separation, being that we're square, to one that we're oneness, the reality that we're a circle. There's even fear patterns going back and forth. Universe is pushing us toward that direction because we're heading toward that because we're just moving, we're learning to grow. You know, there's the area of the New World Order fear, which is in the S, that's one side. But we're fighting to recreate that into a positive form. Yes, in reality, we already are one world order. In reality, we are already connected. Now, some people might be manipulating it, but we ourselves are part of that manipulation allowed to go through. Unless we choose to undo that. Again, we choose it. There is no duality. It's no us versus them. It's us. So what's going on? We're simply moving from the square illusion of duality to the infinite square of cause and effect being in the reality of synopsis or symbiosis, as I would call it. I never thought of things being a duality myself. I don't even like using the word. I always saw symbiosis. Like things are moving together. One reacts to another. Think of it as a ping pong ball flying back and forth with there's no paddles. We're often caught up in the forms of things flying back and forth. Cause of what the cause and the effect. But it is, if we just watch the ball going, it is part of the synergy. And what is synergy? Synergy is the interaction of multiple elements in a system to produce an effect different from all or greater than the sum of their individuals. That's synergy. Synergy is what we are. Again, I'll repeat, it's the interaction, I apologize for that little ring there, I forgot to take off my phone. Synergy is the interaction of multiple elements in a system to produce a greater effect. That is what we are. We're just multiple elements in a system producing a greater effect. We're like atoms. People ask me about choices. Think about it, what we are. Your choice, you make a choice. That person makes a choice. This person makes a choice. And there's multiple choices going on. You're every single second you're making a choice. The amount of thoughts you have, and I'm talking from a limited perspective, again, limited perspective, still being limited. You may have some people say you may have 500 thoughts per second or 500 thoughts per day. Those thoughts have choices. And those choices create what? Every thought that you make produces energy. That's a fact, right? Think of terms of energy. Everything's flowing and moving.
So it's synergy. Do you think your cells, they're all individual, right? Every cell has a consciousness in it. Did you know that? Every cell determines itself and it interacts with other cells. He goes, hey, buddy, I need some oxygen over here. Psh, oxygen is sent over. Hey, buddy, I need some more food. And it's transferred. They work together like synergy. They work together, right? They communicate together. Now, what happens when these cells don't communicate? It becomes a cancer, right? Lack of synergy. And then all of a sudden they die, right? Think of us as humanity. We are actually a cancer, yes. We are because of our perspective and what we put out. We discommunicate between each other. Think about it when we don't talk to our friends. Think about when we make people into our enemies. Yet they're part of us, right? Think of what that energy is. Turns into a war, right? And then some people die. Think about how many people starve or suffer because of this lack of synergy. Why? Because we look at ourselves in a limited form. Again, why? Because we're going from one, learning to go from that limited experiences into learning to go toward an infinite experience. What is your dreams when you dream? Oh man, I like to dream, I sleep. Because when you're dreaming, you're heading to the direction of infinite capacity. In Kabbalism, for example, and this is also common in most esoteric understandings, we look at things and you go toward a place of non-thought, right? You move all your thoughts. You head to a place of nothingness, or the direction of nothingness. In Hebrew, they call it the Ein Sof, which is, they say, the godliness. Heading toward the godliness, the Ein Sof, the Atzilut, or beyond Atzilut. The same thing that's talked about within Buddhism, the same thing talking in Taoism, you know, beyond the empty bowl in Taoism, right? Why is it saying the same? Beyond the emptiness, beyond the infinite, because that's the source. Think about it. That is the source. So because we limit ourselves when we speak. True wisdom is, in fact, before I articulate it, before I say something or you say something, that's now I understand, that's verbalized. It's wisdom, it has no expression. It's before you can even think of it. That's why it is. Now look at what happens when you eat an apple. Explain to me the experience of what is being tasted. Can you? Can you explain to me what that apple tastes like? No, you're going to give me an explanation with your limit. Oh, it's sweet. Well, what's sweet? What is sweet and what is sour? Try to detailly tell me what sweet and sour is. What is hot and spicy? It burns my tongue. Okay, what's burning my tongue? Get it? As we get more into the elaborations of our experience, we find ourselves pretty limited, right? Because our own verbs, our own way of articulating is limited. Think about it. That's how we are. We limit ourselves by our own thoughts and words. When I take information, any process information coming, we have to take image and things and process it and then try to communicate into words. And that's where we start going into limited forms because we communicate in very limited capacities, unfortunately. But when we acknowledge that those are limited, then we come to the reality of some things. When we realize those are just little walls that we know we only have certain tools we can communicate, when we realize that the world is infinite, when we look at ourselves as being infinite, we look at the universe being infinite, when we look at that in those situations, things change. Our perspectives head toward a closer toward reality. This is the greatest thing about us. When we move from limitation to non-limitation, that's when we grow. That's why I was telling you about those weights. We had this great weight. Now we're going away from it. Look how much we will grow from that as a spiritual being. This is what, let's say, like Bashar would say, the extraterrestrials are watching us. This is what's happening. We're creating one of the greatest achievements. We as humans have learned a lot. We, in fact, are learning more than you can imagine. We are learning that, in fact, we are not limited. We are learning what our soul is, our spirit, in relation to our personality and perspectives are. We are learning that indeed that they do have an impact from our choices and that we are our choices. That in itself is one of the greatest achievements. Now, there's a famous thing, so I'm going to bring it up. I remember I was reading, studying in class the other day, and we're in a Taoist class, and I went through a whole bunch of blah, 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 blah. And the person looked at me cockeyed. It's actually from a stanza by, read by Hugh Nang. And it goes into a lot of stuff, which I'm not going to get into, because it says things that, about enlightenment of mind and teaching. Of course, it's a translation from Chinese to English. So some things get limited translations. But it's funny, as we're going through and reading, we're going through class, and then it gets into the areas of everything being more like limitations, right? And we're supposed to have limitations and restrict ourselves. And again, purposely making limitations. And why is this? Because you're supposed to go from limitation to the opposite end. And at the end, you realize there's to the realization that we're going from being placing upon ourselves sort of like a guidance, a limited thing, discipline, you might call it. We discipline ourselves. It makes us better. Well, we discipline ourselves to put us on the path. So let's say you're on the right path, right? That's so we break out from that. It's going from opposite to opposite, right? And this is why. Because it's getting to an area where in reality it is. And at the end of this thing, and I know I'm going on and on, it's sort of weird. This is what he says at the end. After reading all the gobbledygook about limiting ourselves, he says this thing that's pretty profound. He says, learned audience, those who understand the way of thoughtlessness will know everything, will have the experience of all Buddhas have had and attain Buddhahood. In future, it is initiate of my school should make a vow in company with his fellow disciples to devote his whole life with a retrogression to the practice of teaching of this sudden school in the same spirit as that for serving Buddha. He would reach without failure the path of holiness. He should transmit from heart to heart the instructions from hand to hand, from patriarch to another to another. In other words, basically, not to translate, but it goes into learned audience, those who understand the way of thoughtlessness will know everything. Will have experienced all Buddhas have had. Get it? Experienced all Buddhas have, meaning you're experiencing the true divine understanding, direction of wisdom, nothingness. You're connecting to the infinite understandings of things, thoughtlessness. You're attaining Buddhahood because you have enlightened yourself, you're heading toward your true self. And because of that, you're getting information from the divine wisdom from non-thought, right? From understanding that things are infinite, and you're transmuting this, is coming down into a verbiage that you're going to explain to other people. That's what sudden school thing about sudden school is suddenly happening because there's no time, it's it. That's the whole point. That's humanity at large. And I hope you've enjoyed this great achievement. Because there are going to be greater achievements. We will have cycles of things. We will be frustrated at times. But this in itself is the expression. I might be upset. You may be upset. That's part of our growth. But it's heading to the direction where we are heading. We're going from limited perspectives to seeing things for reality. Remember, we're a soul that happens to have a perspective. We are a soul that happens to have a human experience. We're the divine, unlimited, infinite soul, again, experiencing an experience within this body that we assume is limited in an experience. And the experience that we're having, we try to place in words, but in that in itself is limited. Get it? We are beyond the limitation. Therefore, our world is a circle. You are a circle. The universe is a circle. We are infinitely connected to all, each and one of us. We are like leaves on a tree with our own little views and perspectives, which are sort of limited based upon our frequency as energy, connected to each other, being the branches, connected to the trunk, being the earth, which is then rooted into the universe, being nurtured. That is the tree of life. And with that, I'm going to close. But before I do, I just got one reiteration for next week. But for those out there, again, who will be in the Los Angeles area, do come out to, if you're in the Los Angeles area, see Ben Stewart's new group, Hair Sonic. They're going to be playing, like I said, at the Viper Room on July 23rd. I am going to be there. That's like next Tuesday. And also on August 2nd at the LA Whiskey's a Go-Go. And next week, I feel honored to have him on my show once again on August 26th. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time on Where Else When Pigs Fly, because bullshit doesn't. And definitely, if you haven't checked out his movies, any of them, please do check first his famous movie called Kymatica, K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A. And or you can Google his name, Ben Stewart. And with you, that God bless you all and have a glorious weekend. I'm going to close with Hair Sonic, Believing in Vampires. God bless you all and have a glorious weekend.
I'm picking my soul up from under your nails. I'm the queen of a pollution. And everything she's telling me is making me feel ill. It's making me feel hard. I'm sleeping in the bed of another revolution now. I'm trapped in a city where the sun can't reach. Sleep with the monster sleeping under my bed. I just don't get it. Get it out of my head. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a little bit. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a little bit more than they bargained for. Everybody is an idiot. Everybody is a victim. Except for them. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a little bit. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a little bit. Well, the truck's down here for coming in late. And they're swimming in the playground. And they're sitting on the tabletops. And the vampires sleep all day. After giving all the poison away. And they're living on the victim's pay. There's something very weird going on down here. Get it out of my head. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a real bit. Maybe it's for everybody, it's a little bit more than they bargained for. Everybody is a idiot, everybody is a victim. It's so far down. Maybe, so, maybe, now we get so much. Die.
doesn't have to be. Aside.